From WTIP News, this is the North Shore Weekend News Roundup. I'm Jay Anderson, and here are some of the stories we've been following this week. As the nation slowly moves out of recession, more people are using food support programs in Cook County. In a report to the county commissioners last week, Human Services Fiscal Supervisor Jan Parrish documented a 130% increase in September food support cases over 2006-2007 levels. The increase from 55 to 127 cases shows 242 people, 155 adults and 87 children, sought food support benefits last month alone. That figure translates to a total value of $26,141, or an average of $206 per case. The dollar amount is based on the size of a household and can vary from as little as $16 per month to many hundreds more than the average. Food support, once known as food stamps, amounted to over $39.4 million in financial food assistance benefits statewide last month. That's an 86% increase over September of 2006. This has been the trend all year, with 168 more cases served over the last year thus far and 442 more cases than in 2008 in the same nine-month period. The majority of food support dollars is federal money. No county dollars are used. Food support is the state's name for the federal government's Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP.
A proposed land exchange between the U.S. Forest Service and PolyMet Mining Corporation is currently under consideration and could include a 32-acre parcel of privately owned land bordering McFarland Lake in Cook County. PolyMet is in the process of acquiring private land within the Superior National Forest to trade for about 6,650 acres of federally owned land at their proposed mine site in St. Louis County. Mary Black is Cook County Land Commissioner.
This parcel is on the western side of McFarland Lake. It is currently owned by the trustees of Wheaton College. This parcel is being considered now for this proposed exchange. Whether or not it's utilized will be determined in the future. So they're just in the infancy stages of they're doing a draft environmental impact statement. And as things play out, if you will, this parcel may or may not be included in that exchange.
Vancouver-based mining company PolyMet is the first of several companies hoping to mine copper, nickel, and other precious metals in northeastern Minnesota. Known as non-ferrous, hard rock, or sulfide mining, it's highly controversial because it produces toxic waste rock and polluted runoff that can contaminate watersheds for hundreds, even thousands of years. Two public open houses will be held this week to solicit comments on the proposed land exchange. Written comments may also be submitted to the Superior National Forest Office in Duluth. More information on the project is available from Mark Hummel at 218-626-4303. Critics of sulfide mining say the long-term health of Minnesota's water resources, including Lake Superior and the BWCAW, are at risk. Supporters point to the economic benefits of opening up northeastern Minnesota to sulfide mining, chiefly job creation.
An operating levy from ISD 166 will be a referendum question on the November 2nd ballot. What will not be on the ballot is a levy for nearly the same amount from the Cook County Hospital and Care Center. Cook County Auditor Treasurer Brady Powers.
If you just look at a homestead property, that's probably the simplest. If you look at a homestead property, the tax per $100,000 of value in 2011 is going to be very similar for both the school referendum, if it passes, and the hospital levy as proposed. Right now, the school referendum, they're estimating $67 per $100,000, and the hospital levy would be about $63 per $100,000 as proposed for a homestead. Differences are that the school referendum is only based on the market value of the property, and it only applies primarily to homestead and commercial, whereas the hospital tax applies to everybody, all property. It's based on the net tax capacity.
The hospital board voted a levy increase to help counter low Medicare and Medicaid reimbursements. According to Hospital Administrator Kimber Ralstead, those reimbursements are being made at a 2002 level for both the care center and hospital. She added that increased private insurance premium costs have left some patients with no coverage or high deductibles. She said that results in more payment defaults. The school district is levying in order to continue to operate in the face of deferred state payments, reduced federal and state aids, and a declining enrollment.
The referendum is based on market value. Whatever your market value is, that's what it is, and you multiply that by the referendum tax rate. That one is about 6.7% times 100,000. That's the same whether you're commercial, homestead, school referendum, and the hospital tax have a very similar effect. That would be for a homestead that has a 1% net tax capacity rate. A commercial property has a class rate of 1.5%. But a commercial, they're going to have a bigger effect for the hospital.
Powers said the law regulating which levies require a referendum as well as which properties are affected was changed in 2001. In effect, the legislature took seasonal property taxes away from school districts and put them in a general property tax collected by the state. When taxpayers look at their 2011 tax statements, they'll see a number of tax categories. The special taxing district category will reflect the hospital levy as well as the Economic Development Authority and one or two others. The voter-approved and other categories reflects the 2010 school levy if it passes, as well as the 1998 school building levy already in effect. Other tax statement categories reflect the county levy, the state general tax, and city or town taxes. Contractors for Cook County Soil and Water Conservation District have completed the first phase of their work, 43,490 acres surveyed. Cook and St. Louis counties are the only Minnesota counties without a complete soil survey. Cook County's new Soil and Water District Manager, Carrie Fabius, says soil surveys have a number of important uses.
They look at the overall picture of the land, contours, landforms, and then based on that, they choose where they're going to do the soil test, and they try and get what type of soils are there. And there's a variety of uses, and it depends on who the user is. And if maybe you're an engineer or a developer, you might want to look at it to what kind of soil you're going to put your building on. Maybe you want to build a road and see what kind of soil's out there, perhaps a septic system, and you want to know what kind of percolation rate are through your soil.
She said the survey results are meant to give potential users a good idea of the kind of soil they will be dealing with.
It's quite accurate, and for larger scale purposes, it's very useful. Foresters might use it if they want to see the suitability for planting new forests or logging roads. County government for perhaps buying and selling land and maybe tax assessment, watershed planning. Another one for contractors if maybe they need to find the location of a new gravel pit.
Acres being mapped are on private lands. Just 9.27% of the county is taxable land, leaving 90.73% tax-exempt, largely made up of federal, state, BWCAW, and reservation acreage. The soil survey plan for next year is to map at least an additional 44,000 acres, leaving about 63% of the county to be mapped in the future. You've been listening to the North Shore Weekend News Wrap-Up. To hear more from the WTIP News team and to check out the full versions of our stories, visit us at WTIP.org. For North Shore Community Radio, I'm Jay Anderson, wishing you a great weekend.